All right, so are you ready?
We're diving deep today into King David, that whole census thing and the plague, man. One of those stories that just gets you thinking, you know, about like God's justice and mercy and all that.
Yeah, big time. We're going deep on this one, like way deep. We've got Dr. Chisholm's commentary on 2 Samuel 24, and it's not just about what happened, right? It's about what it all means.
Exactly. We're going way beyond just the surface level of the story.
Yeah.
Divine judgment, human choice, redemption. It's all there.
No kidding. Heavy stuff. And we're starting off, well, with God. His anger is burning against Israel. You know, the text doesn't actually tell us exactly why. But Dr. Chisholm, he brings up this fascinating point. He says that all through the Old Testament, whenever you see that phrase, it's always linked to sin. A lot of times, you know, idolatry.
So it's not just a random thing then. God's not just like having a bad day. There's something more here. What were the Israelites even doing that could have made God so angry?
Well, that's the big question, isn't it? And it leads us right into the next verse. God, he incites David to take a census. Now, that word incite, well, it gets used in some pretty interesting ways on the Bible.
Oh, yeah. It's like even Satan, remember, he incites God in Job. So is David really calling the shots here, or is he just like a pawn in this giant cosmic game?
Really makes you think, huh? Free will versus divine influence. Honestly, Dr. Chisholm, he doesn't really hand us an easy answer. But what he does do is point out that this story makes us face this, well, this tension between God being in control and us, you know, making choices.
Yeah. And taking a census, I mean, on the surface, it doesn't seem that bad, does it? It's just counting people.
Right. Pretty straightforward. Yeah. But even Joab, you know, David's general, he's like, hold up, something's not right here. He actually warns David, tells him straight up, this shows you don't trust God to protect us.
Whoa, okay. You know, I always just kind of skimmed over that part. But now that you mention it, it does make you wonder, right? Like, was this census more about David, maybe? Like, was he trying to look powerful? Or was he insecure?
It's possible, isn't it?
Yeah.
And Dr. Chisholm, he connects this all the way back to Saul. You know, how Saul didn't trust God and made all those bad choices.
Oh, right, right. So it's like we're seeing a pattern here. Is the author trying to tell us that David's going down the same road?
Maybe. And it gets even more, well, complicated. When David realizes he messed up, God's judgment, though, it's already happening.
Yeah. And then he's given that horrible choice, famine, war, or plague. He picks plague because, you know, he's hoping for God's mercy. But
here's the thing. David, he doesn't really seem to get it, you know? Like, the whole weight of the situation, he's all focused on his own guilt, his own sin. But the text, it kind of suggests that it's really all of Israel that's being judged.
So David's sin, it's like the trigger, but the real problem is much bigger. Like, it's about the whole nation and their relationship with God.
Exactly. It makes you wonder, right, what had they done? What was so bad that it made God so angry? And then, well, it gets even worse.
The plague hits. Boom. 70,000 people dead. That's not messing around. That's some serious divine justice.
No kidding. Makes you think, for sure, about how seriously God takes sin. But then, just as the angel of death is about to, you know, wipe out Jerusalem, God stops. Just like that. Why? What changed?
Well, you see, David, right. He steps up, he sees the angel, and he cries out to God. He owns up to his mistake, begs for mercy. He even says he'll sacrifice himself and his whole family.
Powerful stuff. Mm. But even then, Dr. Chisholm says David still doesn't get it. Like, he still doesn't see that it's really Israel as a whole that's in trouble. He's still thinking about himself. But God's moved by his prayer anyway.
Huh. That's really interesting. Makes you think about what matters most to God, right? Like, is it understanding everything perfectly, or is it just like that raw, real repentance?
Such a good question.
And it's not just words with David, right? He takes action. He's told to build an altar, but he refuses to just, you know, offer a cheap sacrifice. He actually buys the threshing floor from Arauna.
He puts his money where his mouth is. Oh. He's not messing around. It shows how sorry he really is.
Yeah, for sure. And that makes what Dr. Chisholm says next even more interesting. He points out that in the original Hebrew, there are actually two different words used for plague. One is more about punishment, and the other is about the loss of life.
Wait, so even the language, the actual words, are giving us more layers of meaning? This just keeps getting better.
It does. It shows how carefully crafted the story is. But it also, you know, brings up this tough question. If the plague stopped because of what David did, does that mean those 70,000 people, the ones who died, were they somehow, like, less worthy of God's mercy?
Oh, man. That's a question that'll keep you up at night, huh? Does God's mercy have limits? And if it does, how do we even begin to understand that? It makes you question everything you thought you knew about God. Right. And this is just the start. We're talking about divine justice. free will, the fate of a whole nation. And we're really just scratching the surface here.
Yeah, it's like this whole story is a puzzle. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to figure out where all the pieces fit, like God's justice mm-hmm. and people's choices. And then that question, the people who died, were they just like less worthy of mercy?
It's heavy stuff.
Yeah.
And it all goes back to that question, you know, about free will and God's plan. If God pushed David to do the census, knowing what would happen, well, then how much are people really responsible?
Right. It's almost like David was set up to mess up, isn't it?
Things get kind of tricky here, theologically speaking. Dr. Chisholm doesn't give us a simple answer. He does say, though, that even if God's working behind the scenes, David still takes responsibility for what he did.
So it's not about blaming God. It's more about understanding that maybe even our bad choices are part of something bigger.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it. And remember, this isn't just about David messing up, right? It's about Israel's sin, too. God was already angry, even before the census.
So how do we connect what David did with the whole nation's sins? Is it like one thing leads to another?
Exactly. David, he's the king. So he's one guy, but he also represents everybody. Dr. Chisholm thinks that David's sin, it might show us something about all of Israel. Like maybe they were drifting away from God for a long time.
So his actions were like a symptom of a deeper problem. It wasn't the census itself, really. It's what it said about their relationship with God.
Right. And that's where redemption comes in. Even though this horrible plague happens, God still shows mercy to David and to the whole nation.
It's that little bit of hope, right? In the middle of all the bad stuff, God's always ready to forgive, even when it seems impossible.
And forgiveness, redemption, it's not just a feeling. It takes action. David built an altar, offered sacrifices.
Yeah.
Dr. Chisholm says real repentance, it's about your heart changing and about doing things differently.
So it's about walking the walk, not just talking the talk.
Yeah, something like that. So how does this connect to the big picture? Well, Dr. Chisholm has some interesting thoughts. He compares this story to Jesus and the crucifixion.
Oh, wow. Okay.
He says that Jesus, when he was on the cross, he took on God's anger at sin. Remember, God was angry because of sin. And even 70,000 people dying, it wasn't enough to satisfy that justice.
So Jesus' suffering, it represents something much bigger, something David and the Israelites, they couldn't even grasp.
Exactly. And because of Jesus' sacrifice, there's a way for all people to be redeemed. It's like this story, Detective Samuel, it's a hint of that ultimate act of mercy.
That's pretty profound. So even though this is a hard story to read, all that death and suffering, it still points to hope.
Absolutely. It reminds us that God's justice is real, but so is his mercy. And even when we mess up big time, there's always a chance to be redeemed.
This is why I love these deep dives. You know, these stories, they might be old, but they ask questions that we're still struggling with today.
That's so true. This story, it makes us face these huge things. Free will, divine justice. How can we be forgiven when we make mistakes? Those are questions for all of us.
It's like looking in a mirror, isn't it? We've all felt the weight of our choices, and we've all hoped for a second chance.
And this story tells us those second chances are real, even when we think we're beyond fixing. But there's something else Dr. Chisholm says, and I think it's really fascinating.
What's that? What else is he saying?
Well, he talks about how David, you know, he causes this awful plague.
Yeah.
But he's still called a man after God's own heart. It really gets you thinking about forgiveness, right, and what it means to be redeemed.
Yeah. It's not like David gets off scot-free. 70,000 people die because of what he did. But there's still this, like, this thread of grace running through the story.
And it's not just about escaping punishment. It's about how David changes inside. He admits he was wrong. He really wants God to forgive him. He even, you know, he stands up for his people. He asks God to have mercy on them.
It's like, even though everything's falling apart, he becomes a kind of priest, standing between God and the people.
That's a great point. Dr. Chisholm, he actually calls David a royal priest because of what he does here. And it's almost like a, well, like a foreshadowing of the ultimate mediator, you know, the one who comes later.
You mean Jesus?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Jesus takes on all of God's anger. He bridges the gap between us and God.
So this story, even though it's hard to read, it points us toward the hope we have because of Jesus.
Absolutely. It's a powerful reminder. Our choices have consequences. God's justice is real. But it also shows us how deep God's mercy is and how we can be redeemed through repentance and faith.
It's amazing, isn't it? Like, this one story has so many of the big themes from the Bible.
Yeah.
Sin, judgment, repentance, and then just this overwhelming grace of God.
I know. And Dr. Chisholm, he says that If we understand this story, if we really wrestle with these questions, it can help us understand God better and the hope we have because of Jesus.
That makes you think, you know, maybe we put God in a box sometimes with our limited understanding. Like, maybe we don't realize how much he can forgive, how much grace he has.
That's a good point. We try to make everything sit into neat little categories, right? Like, God is just, God is merciful. But this story and the whole Bible really shows us that God is, well, he's more complicated than that, more than we can ever fully understand.
It's like those two things, justice and mercy, they're not opposites. They exist together in a way that maybe we'll never completely grasp.
That tension, that mystery, that's what makes this story so powerful. It makes us think. And it challenges us to, you know, to look beyond the easy answers, to embrace who God really is.
So we've come to the end of our deep dive into 2 Samuel 24. And I'm left with this thought, you know, David, she messed up big time, but he found redemption. He's still remembered as someone who loved God. If that's possible for him, what does that tell us about God's grace and how much he can forgive us? Something to think about. Maybe even something to explore more in Dr. Chisholm's book.